Father,
Dear Meathead, mine, brought to you by J.M. Synthetic.
Have you been?
Online at jmsynthetics.com.
My whole world is up here. Father of mine.
Good morning. Back to
the day. Hey, I'm a little late today, Dad. Sorry about that.
That's all right. What? 2 minutes?
Yeah, I got to yapping, you know?
Hey, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Okay.
Okay.
What? Is something with the phone?
No, my phone was on a low, so we had to go on high.
Oh, yeah. Everything good over there, Dad? How are you?
I don't know. I just got up.
you slept in.
Yeah, well, no, I not slept in. I was just messed up.
About
a minute and a half, 2 minutes ago.
Oh, my God. So you were just sitting by the phone, and then here I am?
Yeah.
Is this normally the time that you wake up?
Maybe 5-10 minutes earlier. You know, usually I'm
yeah.
My line is off.
Uh-huh.
She said she forgot it was Meathead Day.
Okay. Now, Dad, I remember you saying that you would never be able to sleep.
Wait a minute, never be able to do what?
Yeah, you were having trouble sleeping not long ago.
Oh, yeah, I'm awake. I know all these things that are happening in around me while I'm sleeping. Right. And snoring.
Well, yeah, Joanne, I maybe you just don't know that you fell asleep, you know?
Joanne herself screws up, but she just don't say nothing about it.
So maybe you are falling asleep, but you think that you stay up. I don't know. Maybe.
I'm not up. I'm alert.
Oh, so you're wide awake.
Not wide awake, but I'm alert. I know all about me. I hear my, there's a heater that's going on. It comes on, goes off. That thing about 3-4 times went up and down. It kept me awake.
Oh, wow.
No, we heat the upstairs as well, you know.
Okay. Well, I hate that. I would love you to be sleeping more. Do you find yourself like getting really tired?
No, I can't sleep. I'm alert.
All right. Well, as the morning comes, do you eventually, is it the whole night? So basically, you lay down and lay there for 10 hours every night.
I'm not awake.
Wait a minute.
I'm alert.
So... alert.
I don't know what that means. I mean, I don't know.
Well, wait a minute. If you're saying that you're not awake, but you're alert, so you're sleeping, but you're like able
I'm sleeping alert.
I've never heard of a person being able to sleep alert.
Well, I am now. Your dad telling you that, but I know what's going on around me.
So are the eyes open?
No.
Okay. So if I throw a baseball at you, you won't catch it?
No.
Okay. All right. I got it. Hey, are you all right there?
I had a cough.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Ryan writes, Dear Meathead, I've been struggling with something for a few months. I was wondering if you could...
What's the name?
Ryan.
Ryan. Okay.
Yeah. He says, I want you to share your wisdom, please. He says, we have new neighbors that moved in last year, Ruben. We've mainly kept to ourselves and said hello, you know, no big deal. One night, my neighbor caught me out in the driveway unloading the truck after a night. Yeah, after a night out. He asked if I was up for a beer. I had already had a couple and I wasn't ready to go in for the night. So I said, yeah, that sounds like a good thing. I'll put the kids to bed and we'll have a beer together.
They're outside talking?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they sit on the porch, you know, okay. Have a beer with a neighbor.
Now, when you say night, what time, how late did they decide?
You know, like 10, 11.
At night.
Yeah. And then he says, but it gets very late. We kept drinking. It gets to 2:30 in the morning, and we got very intoxicated. And then the neighbor... confesses to me that he cheated on his wife that summer while on the road for a work trip.
Oh, boy.
He got very graphic and detailed. I know that they had just gotten married earlier that year. We ended our night and I did not hang out anymore with him. For the past few months, my struggle has been if it is any of my business to go tell on him to the wife about what he shared. Or is that a bad idea? He says, I feel guilty knowing and having it on my conscience when I see his wife taking the dogs out. But I also do not trust this guy. And I have three kids at home, so I'm not wanting to start any trouble. What do you think I should do, Meathead? Please embellish. Sign, Ryan.
Ryan, do not get involved in that.
Yeah, I agree.
Do not tell.
Oh.
And it's a sad thing that's happened, and sadder thing is the fact that you know about it.
Yeah.
And you know what? I wouldn't trust him for all the tea in China. If he does that to his wife, he wouldn't hesitate 1 minute. If he has an opportunity to do something nasty with you, he'll do it.
Yeah, just keep your distance is I think, a good thing.
If your wife doesn't have any value with you, then you don't have any values at all. You have no mentality to think, oh, hey, this is okay, let him do this and all that. If he does that to his wife, he'll do that to you.
Yeah.
His friendship is not worth a penny.
Right. So the question is, don't, and you agree, don't tell the wife, right?
No, do not get involved.
Okay. It's funny because, well, it's not funny, but I have two very close friends who have done this exact same thing. And Diane and I are both aware of the behavior, and we didn't say anything.
No, let's don't.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, oh, boy.
It's their dime. Let them spend it the way they want to spend it.
I wrote down, I wouldn't trust him for all the tea in China.
In China.
And it's their dime. Let them spend it the way they spend it.
That's right. The way they want to spend it.
Okay.
When they get divorced, hey, but you're going to suffer with it? No.
Right on. Let's see.
You better feel bad for the wife that doesn't know about this crap.
Yeah. It was weird. And it's funny because both of our friends that did this, they've been together a long, long time after the fact. So I guess it never surfaced, you know, it just kind of, and whatever, it's, you know, they somehow it got worked out. Maybe the wife never found out. I don't know. But I know we didn't say anything.
No. And in fact, I really don't even think that you should have any friendship with him.
It's a little weird, I have to admit. You know, here's the thing. Diana, she knows, like I said, about this. And she knows the guy who did it. And she still, I said, is it weird to, like, look him in the eye? And she says, yes, absolutely. So we have to, we're kind of left to be in a tough spot because we have to act like everything's fine, you know, and it's not. It's horrible.
No, I would not trust him. I don't even think, unfortunately, this is my makeup, okay? If I was my buddy and all that, I'd let him know how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And I would really, I in reality, I wouldn't have a whole lot to do with it.
Right. All right, moving on. Aram writes, hello, my friend.
Hello, Aram.
What advice do you have for a businessman who finds himself forgetting his business meetings or accidentally showing up to his meetings 24 hours early? Is this a serious businessman or Mickey Mouse?
He shows up 20 hours late.
I think he has a pal who's a businessman who missed a first meeting, rescheduled it, and then showed up 24 hours early to the rescheduled meeting. He says, is this a serious businessman or a Mickey Mouse?
Well, first of all, I believe that it doesn't really. Let me think this over.
You asshole.
What I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He can't hear me right now. I'm going to punch your face.
He doesn't put value on his commitment.
No, he doesn't put value on his commitment. It's horrible.
If that's the case, there's a lot of other issues that he is confronting with himself that it comes back to bite him.
Yeah, he just doesn't have a good head on his shoulders when it comes to business.
I mean, my God, what's wrong with an alarm clock?
Yeah. What is wrong? Yes, okay.
Well, maybe you should have a couple of alarm clocks.
Okay.
You know, you put value on the meeting situations. If you're in a business and all that, or let's say that you're going to go to the airport to pick some passengers, you show up 10 hours later.
Right. Yes. So what you're saying is he is, in fact, Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, he has no values on people's commitment.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Mickey Mouse guy.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. Jeremy.
Oh, well, hey, he can wait.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
No, you can't do that. It's horrible.
That's my opinion.
Yep. In fact, I wrote down, what's wrong with an alarm clock?
Yeah. And let it rain. Don't just shut it off.
Yeah. Jeremy writes, Dear Meathead, I have a 2004 Ford Ranger 4x4, 190,000 miles on it. It has two different rather bad transmission fluid leaks. I'm not sure how much the repairs would cost. I have other vehicles, so I don't really need the truck, but I like the truck. Would you repair the truck or get rid of it?
Well, the problem is not just that issue. With that kind of mileage, let's say that you spend a good chunk of coin and repaired it. There are many other things can go wrong with it.
Right.
Well, first of all, consider this. Are you keeping that for a vintage, or is it something that you need to repair it and use it?
I think he just likes it.
If it's a vintage, you would have spent a lot of money to repair it, and I don't know what the advantage would be. I can't possibly think.
Yeah.
Of what? You don't drive it, you don't ride it, you don't use it.
I think he just kind of uses it and drives it around because he likes it. You know, he actually enjoys the vehicle. So basically what I'm like the old truck that you sold me, would it be worth it to get that repaired?
Not for that kind of money that they're charging.
Right.
I listen to the television and for repairs, thousands of dollars for repairs for what?
Yeah.
You can spend that $1,000 or thousands of dollars plus another few hours buy a brand new vehicle.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I guess it depends on the sentimental value of it. Like the truck that I bought off you, I would spend the money on it because it has sentimental value to me. That can be a high price and can have a lot of effect on, to a point where a person almost makes bad decisions, you know?
Sure. Well, Eric, that particular vehicle that you have, it's still got tremendous amount of miles on it available.
Yes, I believe that. I think, I mean, it only has...
It was well-maintained, well-taken care of. Now, I don't know if you had any issues with it or not.
No, nothing.
So it was driven without a craziness, but very care and caution. And I babied it. I took care of it. The only thing that I was upset about that... where you put those CDs in there.
Yeah, the CD thing kind of got wonky, but that can be repaired. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, that's not a repair. Usage.
Yeah.
The guy, when he told me what it cost to do that, I said, oh, my God, just so I can listen to music.
And, the CD that's stuck in there is like Christian music.
They're four Christian albums.
Oh, yeah. So I turn it on and it starts to play and then I want to throw up.
Oh, I don't know. I like them.
Okay. Adam writes this. Dear Meathead, I have to buy a new clock for the living room wall. I was thinking about getting a fancy digital clock. Do you like digital clocks or the classic sweeping arms? Much love and respect, Adam and Michelle. What would you prefer, Dad? An analog clock or a digital clock?
That's a tough decision for me to make because I don't put any values in the makeup of a watch or a clock to how fancy it is and all that. If it's digital, you can tell the time much better. But is it going to be hung on a wall?
Yeah, it's like he wants either a decorative wall clock or a... Yeah.
What are you saying? You want it?
Yeah, she wants like a clock face with the sweeping arms.
Yeah. I think that's strictly personal opinion. I don't put any values on that.
Yeah. Well,
I really don't. Now, do we have any clocks in this house? Yeah, we have one.
Right. If it's on the wall.
Pretty inexpensive clock, but it's a nice looking thing.
Well, let me jump in. If he puts up a digital display on the wall to tell time, I think he should be kicked out of the house because that would look ridiculous.
Yeah. My wife definitely agrees with that.
Yeah, it would look like he's working at NASA or something like that.
Yeah, right.
You know,
you got that thing all with yourself. So. Yeah.
So let me just jump in here and say, if you put that on the wall, that is a bad decision. So get a regular clock.
I think it's a waste of money.
Okay. Mitch writes, "Dear Meathead, thank you for being the best part of Eric's show."
Well, thank you for the particular
you asshole, Mitch.
Comments that you make. It really, really kind of builds me up.
He says, "Seriously, you bring the listeners the most enjoyment of the week. I'd say that most of the audience tunes in just for you and Joanne and not Eric. So thank you. Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. That feels great. Anyway. He says, "Meathead, the lake by my house is frozen, and my son and I are starting to go ice fishing for the first time. Have you ever gone ice fishing? And what do you think about ice fishing? We love you." And Joanne, signed Mitch.
Mitch, fishing has not been my forte. Probably have tried in my life just for, I don't know, for some kind of an opinion to go fishing and see what it does. But I've gone with my kids fishing. I just sit around and watch them fish.
All right, I'm writing down, go fishing and see what it does?
Yeah, what it does for you.
Yeah.
When you catch the fish, what do? You got to... throw it back in, or you got to cook it, or people,
yeah.
The adamant fisherman uses the fish for eating, definitely.
All right, adamant fisherman uses the fish for eating, you're saying?
Right, the catcher cleans it, eats it. I don't even want to waste time cleaning it.
Yeah.
I mean, catching it, let alone cleaning it.
But you will eat it.
I'll do it.
Okay, so if he catches a bunch of perch or walleye and he has a fish fry, then you're all about it. But after, only when it comes to eating it.
Well, he does that.
Yeah.
Well, that's your makeup.
That's your makeup. Yes.
You like that. Okay. You've got to stay with it.
Okay, good. All right.
No, that's a good thing, and then fish is a great, great food.
Let's see. Joseph writes this, "Dear Meathead, I love to hear you and your lovely wife every week. I listen to a podcast where the host is constantly pushing his friends away. I think he's a nice guy, but he's very opinionated. Should I continue to support him?"
The sooner you realize one thing important, it's a really important thing in your life. Every human being has got a character of its own.
Yeah.
None of them, No two of them are 100% alike.
Yeah.
You got to let people be people.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
If it doesn't affect you or change your personality, hey, let people be what they are. When I listen to some people.
You hear that, Joe?
You brought a good point out. I listen to some people when we're having some conversation. I experienced this thing, actually. You know, let it happen. And this person started talking about the things that had no values to me.
Uh-huh.
But I let him be pleased with himself that he's telling me something and he thinks I'm listening. Which I am. But you know what? Believe me, it'll be in 5 minutes. That's out of my brain.
So
let people do what they want to do.
So
do not advise them.
So when people are talking, just sit there and look at them and go, yeah, and then just pretend it didn't happen.
No, don't do anything. Just listen.
Yeah. Just sit there and go, yeah, okay. And then,
and then at the end, you go, oh, wow.
Wow, that's great. And then that's it. Then they feel good because they've told you something. And then
if you really want to make your point, says, oh, wow, you like that?
Wow.
Yeah, I like that. I did that.
Oh, God.
Wow, that's great.
Okay. All right, maybe that's what this guy needs to do.
You see, here's the thing, though. We sometimes, when we're in a conversation, we try to make people become us.
Yeah, you gotta
have its own opinion,
right?
And people have their own opinion on anything at all that you bring up.
Exactly. Opinions are like, you know, everybody's got one, you know?
Everybody's got one. They say opinions are cheap.
They do? I didn't hear that one. I used to hear him say...
That's my makeup.
Opinions are cheap. I remember hearing opinions are like buttholes. Everybody's got one.
Well, that's going too far.
Okay. I'll just say opinions.
Right.
Remember, everybody, opinions are cheap.
It's cheap.
So when the doctor says,
coming out of your mouth now, right. You expect me to digest that?
So when the doctor says, my opinion is you should start chemotherapy, and then you say to him, yeah, well, your opinion's cheap.
That's not the case. You got to him, considering him an important person, to tell you, what's wrong with you?
Okay. All right. I got you.
But when you were telling me what you did, that was your opinion, well, that's up to me to correct him.
Yep.
No, that's not it. It's got to be my way.
Okay. Finally, my last one of the day, I think Nathan writes, Dear Meathead, how important is organized religion? Wow, that's pretty heavy. How important is organized religion?
Well, that's really a good question, and I'm really not an authority because I am not a person that is organized in my religion. I have one religion, it's Christianity and God, and nothing else changes me.
I think he's referring to like a church. You know,
I have a church that I've been in years and years and years.
Okay.
I never changed them. I listened to my pastor.
Yeah.
And the only reason I would want to change it is the fact that, for instance, we have to go one way 25 miles to get
okay.
to the church.
But what he's suggesting is, you actually are involved in an organized group, that church. So what he wants to know is, is that important? Like, he might be the type of guy who has no affiliation and could still believe in God. So that's why he's asking how important is, I think that's what he's asking, but he says how important is religion? So maybe he's referring to just religion in general, you know?
It's important for fellowship.
I agree. I think that there's definitely something to it.
Definitely. Now, church, people that go to church, I often wonder, though, in fact, that's a good subject that he brought up. I often wonder, what do they think? What did they really hear what the pastor said? Or do you start following what he said?
Hopefully.
Hopefully something sticks, you know?
But you don't know. Some people just walk out. That was it. It was like a habitual thing. I've got to be in church.
Yeah.
But like Joanne says, it's their problem. My faith is my problem.
Your faith is your problem?
Well, it's my problem to concentrate on it.
Wait,
or just go, just sit there and get out to go home.
So basically,
you
know, do you walk
values
up?
Values in a, yeah. You know, in a preaching.
So do you walk? Go up.
Preaches to me, and I go to that church.
Yeah.
I am actually going to follow that stuff.
So do you, when you start to pray, like when you get say your prayers at night, do you say, "Baby Jesus, you are my problem"?
No, I don't tell him that.
Oh, okay, good. Because, I was going to say.
I don't have a problem with
you. Okay,
Jesus.
Gotcha. That would be weird if he's like, well, wait a minute, what did I do? You know?
No, that's right. No. I love God. I love Jesus that died for me and just to save me. And I consider myself as a really worthless person that he saved me.
I think that a lot of people who go to actually go to a church and are part of an organized religion, a lot of the relationships that they build with the other members of the church turn out to be quite meaningful and friends and things, and especially for people who might be alone. Like, let's say you're a person who's elderly and, you know, you don't have family or you know, God forbid, or something like that. That's very, very important, you know?
So I
think that organized religion is important.
When I go to church, I see people would gather after church, you know. Oh, my God, they're talking about the cooking that they did yesterday and this and that. Well, I don't dig it.
Well, yeah, that's when their you know, opinion is your problem.
Really?
Okay. Very good. I think you've hit the nail on the head with all of this, Dad.
I'm trying my best.
No, you do a great job. People love hearing you speak. Both of you guys, seriously.
Well, I love the people. I know that you have a group of people that I'm especially into their personality, to how they feel about me and Joanne.
No, you're extra special to them. I mean, seriously, if you guys weren't around, they wouldn't even listen to me. They'd be like, "Oh, screw him. I don't even want anything to do with him."
Half the time I wonder, God, do they really believe in some of the things that I say or what? Yeah.
If you did this every day, like for a podcast, like if you sat down, let's just say I had a setup at your house where all you had to do was sit down and talk and it would be recorded and people could listen to it, you'd be a millionaire.
Oh, my God. Oh, well. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I love you guys. Have a great rest of your day and a great rest of your week, okay?
Yes, and love to you. Love you and your family. And please, please stay healthy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And keep away from all this foolishness of diseases that we've got.
I will try to keep away from disease. Yes, I will.
Yeah.
Okay.
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 Goodbye, audience. All right. I love you all.
Okay, see you guys. And the cats in the cradle and the suit.